Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Paul Tonko, tell us the story of Henry Johnson. What's this all about?
Well, Henry is an American war hero. He served in the First World War when our troops were still very much segregated, and he actually served under a French command and provided great courage on the battlefield, saving several of his comrades, and was never really decorated for that heroism. And because it goes way back to World War I vintage, it was essential, necessary for us to take congressional action so as to enable him to be recognized with the Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And this has been a long struggle.
And very symbolic. One of the main ways you get into Albany, there aren't many ways to get in. You can get out fairly easy, but getting in is hard, and is on Henry Johnson Boulevard.
Right, which is a great tribute to him. You know, draws to mind his greatness every trip you make down that given passageway. And, you know, his family was very invested in this effort. I had met some of the members of the family. This goes back to the vintages of Congressman McNulty,
indeed,
who was working very hard to get the recognition. Senator Schumer has worked in the other house to do likewise. And, you know, we're just very happy that we could finally bring it to a spot where there was some hope to get the recognition brought to completion.
So give us a lesson in being a congressman. What do you do in order to get something like that done?
Well, we had a standalone bill, which means that it just dealt with that issue. And
give Henry Johnson the Medal of Honor.
Right.
Okay.
And it necessitates congressional action. Senator Schumer and I had like bills, same as bills in the two houses. Every chance, every avenue we had to try and strike progress here or success, we would utilize. And for this sake, it was through the National Defense Authorization Act, because it's appropriate. It's dealing with the Department of Defense. And in that hundreds of pages, perhaps 1,600 pages of
was
document,
buried.
There were two paragraphs indicating that the Congressional Medal of Honor shall be bestowed upon Henry Johnson for his service during World War I.
Wait a second. I don't get something. You're a Democrat,
right,
in a Republican House.
Mm-hmm.
They don't generally go around doing favors for Democrats.
Well,
so how do you do that? You trade them for something?
Not really. I think what happened here was that the effort had been so long in coming, and people recognized that veterans shouldn't be impacted by politics, at least with medals that are due them, recognitions that they've earned. And so there was an agreement to just fold this into the overall National Defense Authorization measure. And,
but did you have to do something? You have to go talk to somebody? You have to knock on a door?
Well, we had worked with leadership in our house. We worked with Steny Hoyer, who's the minority whip.
Yeah.
He worked with some of the appropriate leadership on the other side. We encouraged our appropriate committee chairs to follow suit. And they knew that action was taking place similarly in the Senate, on the Senate side. And so the two paragraphs or so were inserted into the hundreds of pages in the measure. It was brought before the House, where it wasn't real. It was pretty much negotiated through committee status, mm-hmm, because the bill wasn't taken up earlier by the Senate. So
your standalone bill wasn't. So
right.
This now became part of it.
Right. Thing. And so
I just want to know how they make the sausage down there.
Yeah. Well, all different ways. It depends on what you've ordered. But in this case, it was a justified request. It was one that spoke to a tremendous bit of history, a war hero. And again, at a time when, because of his African-American profile, the troops were segregated at that time. And it was important to strike that recognition. Now, if the measure passes both houses, and I'm assuming it does, and goes to the president's desk, I would hope there would be some order of ceremony,
sure,
that the president would execute to posthumously recognize this American hero.
You're Mr. Environment. Everybody knows it. Everybody writes to me, calls me, wants us to do more on the XL pipeline. So tell us where all of that's at.
Well, it's gone through a number of studies with various agencies, and I think that, you know, there have been measures to try and do a fast track in the House.
Fast track meaning you're going to put it there and we tell you to, and that's
right.
It.
But that and avoid happened. The no. scrutiny that comes with the various agencies, which is there for a purpose. And, you know, we had a measure to fast track it that I voted against because I didn't believe that it was the appropriate action. I have to say on this measure, we need to put it into the framing of a larger comprehensive energy process and just where we're going with our fuel supply or our generation activities for our energy supply. And
so, Paul, just so everybody is on the same page, this takes the so-called dirty oil out of Canada, brings it down through the United States, down to Louisiana, puts it on a boat for somewhere else.
Right. Actually, you're taking Canadian oil, running it across the American backyard, so to speak, to the port, and then it'll be sold to the cartel, which means it might end up in China. There were efforts previously in years past to dedicate this resource to American use. That was denied in the House. So basically, you're right. It could take tar sand oil from Canada, use the pipeline through the U.S., and have us absorb that risk.
Stop right there. Risk. So people are writing me and saying the risk is tremendous, is it?
Well, it's any time you ship by pipe or rail, there are concerns about public safety. You know, I've represented a district in the state assembly where we saw propane explosion, pipeline explosions, where deaths were a result of that explosion. So, you know, there is a public safety concern, and there is an inordinate amount of energy that's consumed to address the tar sand quality of the oil. It's it takes a little more energy to transport this type of oil. So, you know, my concern is that it conditions us or secures this decades-long commitment to what is an insatiable thirst for fossil fuels. And we can ill afford that with our energy policy. And when we witness our reliance on imported oil at times, it tells us that, A, you know, we can be more self-sufficient, and B, we need to be more environmentally aware of our carbon emissions and the like. So I think that what we have here is an opportunity to really establish policy that will be not short-term in thinking, but long-range in thinking, and will allow us to, again, rely on innovation, on opportunities for new ways to produce our energy and to pursue a clean energy agenda, which is so critical to the environment, to the energy and economic development policy areas.
But clearly we're not going fast enough, and we only have a minute.
We're not going fast enough? Well, you know, the fact is that, you know, when we have these debates over continued use of fossil-based fuels, it denies the opportunity to introduce some of the flexible, more innovative concepts that could utilize incentives. I had a bill before the House, I've had a measure before the House that would transition over the subsidies to the oil industry over to the renewable industry and the innovation opportunities, the alternative supplies that we can utilize. I was told by witnesses from the oil company at the hearing table that that would be un-American. Well, I don't know what's un-American about continually subsidizing an industry that hasn't shown enough innovation, in my opinion. They've had decades to transition us from this gluttonous dependency.
Paul Tonko, always such a pleasure. And I always love the fact that you come in and talk to us right here in the studio. We can see you and see all of those lines in your face.
My honor and my pleasure to join you in the studio for whatever reasons.
We love you, Paul.
Thank you.